when I walked in the emergency room, my Dr. Kubley here in town was bathing a patch cut above John's eye, and he had his pants leg pulled up and cut on his leg. And I said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know." And I didn't press it any further. I said, and I had seen the other boy dead in the car, and I told him at home that the other boy was dead, but I didn't know where John was. He was in the hospital, and I was going to see. And, so that was a train ride he never paid for.
Boy, from one point of view, that's he was lucky.
And then I contacted the kid that took him. The guy stopped on Monday night, and that happened on Friday night, I believe. On Tuesday night, we couldn't find, I don't know, when was it? Anyway, I couldn't find one of John's shoes when I brought his clothes home from the hospital the next morning. And one shoe was missing. So I walked, I and a couple of the other friends of his walked all along the track as far as that train had carried those boys. And the gas tank was laying right where the train headed, a right short distance away, it rolled the gas tank. But the car was completely demolished, with the exception of that back, the whole side was caved in, and it hit right behind, this two-door car, and hit me, it apparently hit this boy right in the back, this boy that was driving. Nobody knows how it happened or anything, all but the car behind them said they flashed their stoplights, and then they went on and drove in front of the train. And that's what the brakeman on the train said, that he thought that. But in that excitement, all that excitement, I didn't ever tell anybody to keep cool or anything. But
yeah, well,
I was pretty cool myself, I thought, but I never did. But I never, the after effects was worse than the, I never could, for years, I couldn't hear a train whistle over there. It just chilled me.
Yeah, the after effects often are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot stronger than the actual time.
I have to think that kid to this day, if you'd ask him about it, he don't. And in the hospital, he was in, I think he was in the hospital on Monday morning. Anyway, he said, "I seem to hear a horn blowing." He said, "I seem to remember hearing a horn blow." And I talked to one of the neighbors down there. He said, "Yeah," he said, "that was." He said, "I jerked the horn wire loose when I got to the car," and he lived about as far as near to that road. You come out from this way from town?
Yeah.
From that corner down there to here, see? Mm-hmm. And he said, "When I got over there, the blast of that car horn was blasting all the way down the road there." And he said, "I jerked the wire loose to stop the horn blowing."
Mm-hmm.
But the boy that took him into the hospital, that what had me puzzled. How he got to the hospital, and both ambulances were sitting there. There's only two undertakers in Plymouth, and both of them were out there at the wreck. And that's what kind of got me to start with. And,
yeah.
And then on Monday night, there was a young couple come along, and the fellow said, he said, "I'm the boy that hauled John into the." He said, "We went by here just as you pulled out of the driveway to go over to the other farm and look after your hogs." And he said, "John wanted me to stop, but I said, you better take it to the hospital."
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, the railroad comes down here, and there's a road crosses here. The road that where they was crossing was crosses at an angle. Then right down here, there's another road crosses the railroad here. And this guy had come in from the north here and come up here, and when he come up here to this crossing, he seen this train coming with a car hanging on to it. So what did he do? But there was a road down along the side of the track, and he turned and drove down there alongside of the track, and